If a taxpayer is unhappy with the way in which his tax has been calculated, he has a right to appeal to the tribunal.
A taxpayer may bring about an appeal for a number of reasons. For example, the legislation may be unclear or open to different interpretation. The taxpayer might take a different view to the revenue on the interpretation of the legislation, or the taxpayer does not accept the revenue's published view in a press release or statement of practice, etc. Finally, the taxpayer could allege that the revenue has made a mistake which has not been rectified. Such errors could include an incorrect amendment to a return, or any incorrect conclusion to a closure notice after an inquiry. Notices of appeal must be given in writing and must be made within 30 days of the amendment assessment or closure notice, etc., as appropriate. The notice should give the grounds for the appeal.
Appeals sent to HMRC after the 30-day appeal period has passed may be accepted if there is a reasonable excuse for why the appeal is late. If HMRC do not accept the late appeal, an appeal can be made to the tribunal to accept the late appeal.
At the same time as making the appeal, the taxpayer may apply for postponement of any tax or additional tax which the revenue believe is due.
However, if any postponed tax is subsequently found to be due, interest will be charged on any unpaid amount.
If no postponement application is made, the tax must be paid, and perhaps later repaid if the appeal is successful.
Appeals are made in the first instance to the revenue officer. Most appeals are determined by agreement between HMRC and the taxpayer without the need to involve the tribunal.
For example, if the revenue issues an estimated assessment, for example in situations where no tax return has been submitted, typically the taxpayer will appeal against the assessment on the grounds that it is estimated and therefore incorrect. To determine the appeal, the taxpayer will file the tax return and the revenue will then be able to alter the assessment to correspond with the figures submitted.
If an appeal cannot be settled by agreement, HMRC may offer a review. The taxpayer must accept the offer in writing within 30 days of the offer being made. If the taxpayer does not wish to accept the review offer, they must appeal to the tribunal within the same 30-day period.
Alternatively, the taxpayer can either ask HMRC to review their decision or ask the tribunal to consider the appeal. A review involves HMRC appointing an officer not previously involved with the case to carry out a review of the decision.
The taxpayer can put their case to the officer, usually in writing. A review is generally carried out within 45 days. If it takes longer, HMRC should obtain the taxpayer's agreement to the longer period. If the taxpayer is not notified of the outcome within the review period, an appeal can be sent to the tribunal.
When the review is completed, the review officer will state their decision on the matter. If the taxpayer does not agree with the decision of the review officer, he can ask for the appeal to be heard by an independent tribunal within 30 days of the date of the review conclusion letter.
The tribunal is an independent legal body, which consists of independently appointed expert tax judges and/or panel members.
There are two tiers of the tribunal, the first tier tribunal and the upper tribunal. At the first tier, tax appeals are heard within the tax chamber. The upper tribunal is a superior court of record with all the powers and authority of the High Court. There are three chambers in the upper tribunal, one of which is the finance and tax chamber, where tax appeals are heard. It is intended that almost all tax appeals will start in the first tier tribunal. It will be possible for complex cases to go directly to the upper tribunal, however, it will be up to the tribunal to decide which cases should start in the upper tribunal.
Once the appeal has been received, the first tier tribunal will decide which of four categories it falls into: default paper, basic, standard, or complex. If the case is determined as a default paper, the tribunal notify HMRC of the appeal. HMRC have 42 days to provide a statement of case, which is also sent to the taxpayer, who has 30 days to respond if they wish. In most cases, no hearing is required, although the taxpayer can request one. The tribunal will issue its decision in writing. Matters such as fixed filing penalties will be dealt with by default paper cases. Basic appeals are dealt with at an informal hearing, where both the taxpayer and HMRC present their case. The decision is usually issued at the end of the hearing. Standard and complex cases are dealt with at more formal hearings. In these cases, HMRC have 60 days to provide a statement of the case, and the taxpayer has 42 days to respond. The appeal will then be heard, and a decision issued in writing within 28 days. Appeals against a decision of the first-tier tribunal are made to the upper tribunal. Permission must be obtained from the first-tier or upper tribunal before the appeal can be made. The request must be made in writing within 56 days of the date that the decision of the first-tier tribunal was received. Appeals can only be made on a point of law. Decisions made by the upper tribunal are binding on both the taxpayer and HMRC, unless either party appeals the decision to the Court of Appeal. Again, permission is needed from the upper tribunal or the appeal court. And finally, in exceptional cases, to the Supreme Court. A decision by the Supreme Court is final and conclusive, and will establish a case law precedent that will stand, unless superseded by statutory changes, for reference in future cases. Once again, appeals can only be made on a point of law.
Appeals through the court system are expensive and time-consuming, and in the event of the case being lost, will often result in costs being awarded against the unsuccessful party.
We have looked at penalties for late returns. We will now turn our attention to the penalties HMRC will charge where a tax return is incorrect.
Penalties will apply where a tax return or claim for a relief, etc., contains either
a careless inaccuracy or a deliberate inaccuracy, which leads to either an understatement of tax or a false or inflated statement of a loss or a false or inflated claim to a tax repayment.
If taxpayers take reasonable care when completing their returns, they will not be penalised for an innocent error.
Penalties will be charged if the error occurred due to a careless action, i.e. failure by the taxpayer to take reasonable care. This would apply, for example, if insufficient records were maintained or if a taxpayer estimated figures rather than obtaining accurate information. In addition, greater penalties will be charged if the error is deliberate, i.e. the person knowingly and intentionally submits an incorrect document but does not take steps to hide the error. For example, deliberately including an incorrect turnover figure on a return but without creating false records to conceal the inaccuracy. Another example of a deliberate but not concealed error would be deliberately describing transactions inaccurately or in a way likely to mislead. Finally, an even greater penalty will be levied if the error is deliberate and concealed, i.e. an incorrect document was sent knowingly and intentionally and active steps were taken to hide the error, such as creating false invoices or destroying books and records so that they are not available. If a return contains more than one error, a penalty is charged for each error.
Turning now to the amount of the penalty. The penalties are expressed as a percentage of the potential loss revenue. The percentages should now have appeared on the table on your screen. Let's go through them in turn, starting with the penalties charged by HMRC, where the error on the return is due to the careless action of the taxpayer.
The standard penalty for an error as a result of a taxpayer's careless action is 30% of lost revenue. However, if a taxpayer makes a careless error, spots it, then discloses that to HMRC without being prompted, HMRC will charge a penalty of nil. Where a taxpayer discloses a careless error to HMRC after having been prompted, the penalty is 15% of lost revenue. Turning next to penalties charged by HMRC where the error on the return is deliberate, but the taxpayer makes no attempt to conceal the inaccuracy. Here, the standard penalty for such an error as a result of a taxpayer's deliberate action is 70% of lost revenue. However, if a taxpayer makes a deliberate error, then discloses that to HMRC without being prompted, the penalty is reduced to 20%. Where a taxpayer discloses a deliberate error to HMRC after having been prompted, the penalty is 35% of lost revenue. Next, we consider the penalties charged by HMRC where the error on the return is deliberate and the taxpayer makes an attempt to conceal the inaccuracy. Here, the standard penalty for such an error as a result of a taxpayer's deliberate and concealed action is 100% of lost revenue. Here, the penalty will be equal to the tax lost. This is the harshest penalty, to reflect the fact that the taxpayer has deliberately and knowingly tried to evade tax, and has tried to cover his tracks in the process. If a taxpayer makes a deliberate and concealed error, then discloses that to HMRC without being prompted, the penalty is reduced to 30%. Where a taxpayer discloses a deliberate and concealed error to HMRC after having been prompted, the penalty is 50% of lost revenue.